apparently there's nothing to clean up on post tonight because we're live, right? Well, we are glad that you waited on us, and we're glad that you joined us live for the podcast. This is great. Now, was there a podcast last week? Because I know I wasn't here.
Yes, we did have a podcast last week.
Did you do it live?
We did do it live.
Yeah. And then
well, how did it go? Let's talk about last week's podcast.
It went very well. I can't remember what we talked about.
That's good. 7 days ago, we did a podcast. I have no idea what we discussed. Excellent.
It's a long week. It's been a really long week.
I understand. Oh, shoot. Believe me. What? I tell you what, let's get into the good stuff. Who else is here? Is Mr. Black out there?
Yo.
Oh, there he is. The always insightful and often different Mr. Black. It's good to have you.
I don't know if that was an insult.
Well, you know, next time before we start, I'm going to write down a list of adjectives so I have other words to describe you besides different. Also, did I hear Abe Froman? Is he here?
I'm here.
Good job. How are you doing, Abe?
Great.
How is the sausage business?
Fantastic.
Excellent. And as always, Dr. Venkman.
Yeah, with an echo.
With an well, that's okay. Like I said, we're gonna power through. While we work with the technical difficulties, we'll power through. We'll deal with your echo.
Just imagine we're in the movie. What's it? The Warriors, and we're going through subway stations and stuff like that, and we're all talking to each other.
Very nice.
It's like it's in the movie Warriors.
As long as Venkman doesn't start banging bottles together and saying, "Come out to play."
Wherever you are.
Oh my gosh. Okay, let's do what we usually do to start the show. We talk about the top movies in the country this weekend. Does anybody want to take just a wild guess as to what made the most money this weekend?
Madea.
Madea.
Exactly. The Madea movie. Very good.
Yeah.
There's no surprise there. Watchmen brings in some big bucks, but. You guys want to take a guess at how much it made? Or do you have it in front of you?
I already looked, so I won't answer.
You're such a liar. I mean, you're not a liar. You're a cheater.
I am. I lied.
Anybody else want to fancy a guess?
I'll say $50 million.
Not bad. That's very close, actually. 55.6 million is the estimate. Of course, those aren't final numbers. We'll get those after the weekend actually ends. But Watchmen, 55.6 million. Now, that's pretty – I mean, that's big for, you know, a movie like this because this is not, you know, your average light. Anybody can go see this movie. This is dark.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's get it out there. I mean, who saw it?
I saw it.
I saw it.
Didn't you see it a couple of weeks ago, Venkman?
Yeah. I saw it a second time. So.
Oh, did you?
I did. It was good. It was great. I liked it the second time just as much as the first. A lot of bad, a lot of negative comments coming out of it, though. I was kind of surprised by that.
Well, tell me what's so great about it. Anyone.
Sorry, I just wanted to get some laughs out of it. Have you seen it, EMH?
Mm-mm.
No. I assumed you hadn't seen it. Have you read the graphic novel?
That's a good one.
I assumed you have not read the graphic novel.
I do not read this, graphic novels.
This movie is not for you. I know you're not.
Wait. Does Harlequin Romance count as graphic novel?
No.
That's a novel that's graphic.
You know those novels you get in the grocery stores? Or you have the poor suckers buy them in the store. You go to a thrift store and get it for like a quarter or a dime. If you want your softcore pornography from a Harlequin romance, go to the thrift store. Okay. All right, sorry about that. Okay, but somebody tell me what's good about The Watchmen. Well, not The Watchmen, just Watchmen.
We have one of our listeners right now says he saw it in IMAX last night, thought it was well-directed, but he wasn't too crazy about the cinematography.
I would have to disagree with that. Oh. I love the cinematography on that.
You know, I did too. I really like the cinematography.
From the opening sequence, you can actually... You know, Image, do yourself a favor. Watch the opening sequence. It's up on the Geek Tyrant site.
And oh, okay.
Might reel you in. I don't know. You might be quite interested after that little opening sequence.
And he goes on to...
Yeah, you know, I will say this. I've heard a little bit about the movie, about how they're not... Obviously, they're not your normal superheroes. They represent the good in us and the bad in us, and they're very conflicted about, you know, what they're doing or how they're appreciated or something like that. I'm not trying to act like I know about the movie, but I've just heard a few things, and it sounds interesting. I do have a question. The guy that looks like, you know, his face is covered up all the time. What's his name? Looks like he's wearing a ski mask.
Yeah.
What's his name?
Rorschach.
Yeah, does he wear that the whole movie?
No.
Okay. Well, then that would be good, because it just gets on my nerves watching the trailer, watching him talk through that thing.
You're not going to like this movie. I know you're not going to like it.
Yeah. Yeah, this movie, I didn't go through the graphic novel. I had an opportunity to, but just time-wise, I wasn't able to.
Streamer 29572 says his mask was one of the best things, and I agree.
Yeah, it's definitely... You almost want him to put the mask back on when you see his face again. Not because he's ugly, but because that's who he really is. But
all the music was awesome.
Yeah, the music was well chosen. But something that, for me, it was... I heard someone say this, or I think I read it. It was... The adaptation was too close to the graphic novel. And in some cases, the dialogue just was really... It just felt bad, because... It's one thing to read it on the page, but to have someone say it out loud, trying to put some emotional reality behind it, it felt really bad.
Yeah, well, I will say the trailer makes it look like there are a couple of interesting one-liners or you know, lines that would make you contemplate something greater than what's being said, but at the same time, it doesn't look like a very compelling script.
Awesome. The thing that's really great about this thing is that it's a very character-driven story. It may not have an incredibly complex, you know, plot or anything, but the characters are really bringing you in, especially Rorschach.
About Mazer's comment, Ustreamer 29572 says if they would have changed too much, the fanboys would have rioted. I think they stayed really close to the graphic novels, and the fanboys are still rioting.
Yeah, see, it's one of those things, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. You know, whatever Zack Snyder did and whatever they changed or didn't change, people are still going to be super critical.
The thing is, for me, I'm just going to... I think that there's no way to satisfy those hardcore fans, so try to please the movie fans, because those are the people who are going to... They're going to, you know, make a franchise and try to, you know, keep watching it, buy more stuff of it. I think something comes to mind is Constantine. It departed from the original material, but as a movie, it was a good adaptation, and people actually liked it. I think maybe that's what they could have done. Kept the same story, because it's a self-contained story, but try to find some room to maybe move the words around a bit more to make it feel more realistic. I know there are some iconic phrases that you should probably keep, like in the prison, but...
Okay. I'm interested in seeing it, but it's one of those that I'm probably not going to. So, I don't know. I'll definitely see it when it comes out on DVD, so we'll wait and see.
Say, go what happens there. You know, go out and get the director's cut. It'll be 3 hours and 20 minutes long.
And oh, excellent.
That's the one you get to see.
Did anybody have anything they wanted to add about Watchmen?
Well, I know... There's a lot that's being cut out, and the director's cut is coming. Venkman actually mentioned that there are a couple characters, and I actually did notice them in the graphic novel, the newsstand characters. And you only see them for one small moment at the end of the film.
All right, well, I'm going to move on. I mean, Watchmen, you know, if you guys want to talk more about it later, we can. But I'm going to move on with Watchmen. But number two this weekend at the box office was Medea Goes to Jail. Somebody's got to explain to me the appeal. I don't get it. I do not get it. I'm pretty good at getting it, okay? Even if I don't like something, I get it. I don't get Tyler Perry's Medea Goes to Jail. I don't get it. I don't get Tyler Perry's comedy. He's got shows on TBS. He's got all these movies in the stage. You know, I don't get it. So has anybody seen this movie? Someone want to tell me why it's great?
I have no urge to see it. I haven't seen it. I don't think anyone on our panel is going to go see it.
What?
Medea.
No.
I was up late, and maybe we were on Oprah, like 1 in the morning. Tyler Perry was on Oprah, and they were talking about how he bought her a car, and how he gave the car to her friend Gail, and how he actually bought Gail a car too, and that just made me hate them more. That they can just buy each other cars. Is this talking about Oprah? Is that they can buy each other cars? I hate you, Tyler Perry.
Yeah. It's just, you know, I got big respect for the guy. He's apparently pretty smart, and he's figured out a niche, and he's good at it, and he's making lots and lots of money. But I did watch a Tyler Perry movie once. I don't know if any of you can say that, but I watched The Diary of a Mad Black Woman.
That is Medea. We have a reader that is saying, or a listener that's saying, Medea is exploitation at its worst.
Sorry, I don't agree with that. There's a little more depth than that, but I'll of course respect the opinion. I disagree. There's a lot of, you know, exploitation out there, but that is far worse than what Tyler Perry's doing. I mean, you know, he's did it to make it. When I have seen the guy, even if I think it's sappy or even silly or just not that entertaining, I do think he's got a sincere heart. But that's just me.
You know, people have sincere hearts. I mean, that's okay.
Exactly. I think we're pretty cynical to believe that nobody has any positive motivation other than money for doing it. I mean, you know, that's just, you know. But that's number two. $8.8 million in 3 weeks. That puts it at about $76 million. Domestically, so congratulations once again, Tyler Perry, just churning them out. Number three, Taken. This is interesting. Taken went up from number four last weekend to number three this weekend. So even 6 weeks out, it is actually doing better. $7.4 million. That brings its total $118 million. Way to go, Liam Neeson.
Well, I think it just says something about how well this movie is made. I think we mentioned like last week, I think it only dropped like 11% over. So, yeah, great. I think just word of mouth is getting out about it.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm still just impressed. I was very impressed with Liam Neeson's performance. I'm even more impressed that a Liam Neeson movie that he's headlined with really no other big stars is doing so well and so consistent at the box office.
He doesn't need to be around big stars. He can carry a movie by himself.
Okay, yeah, but he hasn't done that before. Wouldn't you say?
Little film called Dark Man.
Schindler's List.
Oh, touche. There were no big names attached to Schindler's List.
Pumpkin Jensen is in it for a little bit, but she doesn't really do much for the film.
Ender from 24.
Oh yeah.
Maggie Grace from Lost. Whatever.
And Bill Pullman played the President of the United States in Independence. Yes.
Oh, Bankman, thanks a lot for that. But yeah, that's number three. Number four, Slumdog Millionaire. You guys heard of this movie? No, I'm kidding.
Who wants to be a millionaire?
I say it all the time. And of course, my family hasn't seen the movie. Only I have. So when I look at them and say, "Who wants to be a millionaire?" they think that I'm just doing a very bad Regis Philbin impression. But Slumdog Millionaire, $6.9 million. That brings its total. Listen to this. This movie, with not a single recognizable face in it, $125 million with a $15 million budget.
Because it's a good movie.
It is a great movie, and it is so cool. I loved that this movie won Best Picture. That was so cool to see at the Oscars. Congratulations, Slumdog. And number five, how about this? Another movie that bumped up from last weekend. Paul Blart, Mall Cop.
What?
$4.2 million. In 8 weeks, the Kevin James comedy has made $133 million.
That's unbelievable.
That's very impressive. I saw this movie. I'm telling you, it was ridiculous, but it was hilarious. At least I found it to be very funny. I liked it. I thought it was fun.
You know,
have y'all seen it?
No. Well, you know, like in 5 years when it's on like the WB at like 5 a.m. and you know, like a good infomercial isn't on.
Like the Snuggie commercial?
Yeah, if the Snuggie commercial is not, I'll watch Paul Blart.
Paul Blart, Mall Cop. It's like, funny, I'm telling you.
I'm a big fan of King of Queens. I like Kevin James, but that movie
I mean, I can see it now. I mean, the sequel is going to be made, and, you know, they're gonna probably try to bring in another, you know, celebrity to match with them in the sequel. And it's going to be, yeah, it'll probably be like a Christmas movie or maybe next summer or something. It's going to be big. There's going to be a franchise. There's going to be a Paul Blart franchise. I'm telling you that. I'm just saying. Could happen. But that's your top five. Watchmen, Tyler Perry's, Madea Goes to Jail, Taken, Slumdog Millionaire, and Paul Blart, Mall Cop. Top 10 would be wrapped up by He's Just Not That Into You, Coraline, Confessions of a Shopaholic, the Jonas Brothers 3D Concert Experience, and Fired Up. So there you go. There's your
now,
top
where was
10.
Jonas?
Number 9.
That went from number 2 to number 9. That's a pretty
big drop. Yeah, it dropped from number 2 to number 9, took a 77% drop. It only made $2.78 million. And so that brings its 2 weekend total to $16 million. But again, I mean, and there's not a whole lot to really compare it to that I know of. I mean, how often do people go to the movies to watch a concert? Because from what I understand, this is not some sort of a.
They had a U2 one.
I mean, I haven't seen
U2 one. U2 one was awesome, by the way. Just saying.
I don't know. How long is this? Does anybody know? Does anybody care?
Who cares?
Should I get off this Jonas Brothers topic as quickly as possible?
Jonas Brothers sucks.
It's as long as it needs to be.
That's funny. Okay.
Asked to move on.
Okay, my Friday the 13th watch is. $1.5 million for Friday the 13th. That means in 4 weeks, it's made $63 million. 42 of that came in the opening weekend. But still, the budget was $19 million, and it made $63.3 million. So that's pretty – I mean, again, I'm impressed. But
aren't we all?
I'm done. Oh, and by the way, last week, did you guys talk about Street Fighter, The Legend of Chun-Li?
Why?
Because it's a movie that came out, and that's kind of what we do here on the podcast.
Well, we can bag on it. I haven't seen it.
Oh, there you go.
I'm trying to think about what we kind of discussed about. There's a new game out, and that's getting – people are really excited about the new game, Street Fighter 4.
More excited for the game than they are the movie.
Yeah, but I haven't really seen anyone or heard anyone talk about – Street Fighter.
Yeah, I haven't seen anyone really talk about the movie. So, I don't know.
I haven't talked much about Street Fighter since 1993 when I used to play it at the skating rink.
Well, see, that's the great thing about Street Fighter 4. It brings back the Street Fighter 2 vibe. That's why everyone is excited.
Well, I never used Chun-Li except when I wanted to turn upside down and do that spinning kick. But, you know, that's it.
Ryu can. All right.
Okay. Hey, here's a little something we haven't done in a while. This week in box office history.
Yeah.
That's right. Yay. Hooray for school. Okay. So we're going back 10 years. This is the 10th week of the year. So we're going to go back to the 10th weekend of 1999. Does anybody want to take a wild guess at what comedy was the number one movie in the country 10 years ago?
Serendipity. Wow. 99?
Yeah, speak up when you
a comedy?
I don't know. That wasn't going to the movies a lot that week.
Hold on.
I was living in Colorado.
A hint?
No, he just gave a thing.
A hint.
Comedy.
Oh. Oh, let me.
It was a surprise hit. It did spawn a sequel that absolutely sucked.
Was it not?
Deuce Bigelow. Was that it?
No. This starred a comedic actor, and it starred a legendary dramatic actor who was doing what I believe was like his first real take at comedy.
Okay.
One of our readers suggests Rush Hour.
But now I'm going to analyze this.
We have a winner. Ding, ding, ding. Analyze this. Number one movie in the country 10 years ago this weekend made $18 million in its debut. And, you know, that Billy Crystal, Robert De Niro, that was a funny, funny movie. Didn't you guys think?
It's been a long time.
Never saw it.
You never saw Analyze This?
I've seen it.
I think everyone.
It's just been sold.
I thought Mazur said he never saw it.
I never saw it.
Mazur, you need to see it.
Poor.
Unless you have a personal, vengeance.
I'll have a confession here. I'm not a big fan of Billy Crystal.
Oh, man. Yeah. That's a shame.
Gloves are off.
Oh, here we go. We're going to get in that fight. Push.
But no, I just Billy Crystal, City Slickers was great. My favorite of his when Harry Met Sally, nice little turn there, Princess Bride, cameo appearance. He does do some bad things. I mean, Father's Day with Robin Williams, and My Giant, and of course, for every Analyze This, you got an Analyze That, and with City Slickers, you got a City Slickers 2. So
Bigger and Ham.
Yeah.
Sugar Ray's little cameo in Father's Day when they're still like a hard rock band.
Oh my gosh. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I saw Father's Day opening weekend when it came out and haven't seen it since. And that's one you don't even see. You don't even see that come on TBS at 4 in the morning or something like that. So, I guess it was that bad. Anyway, the number two movie that weekend was Cruel Intentions. Do you guys remember that one?
Yeah,
Reese Witherspoon, Ryan Phillippe.
Sarah Michelle Gellar.
God, yeah. Did you guys think that movie was as horrible as I did?
Yeah, it was. I've only seen it once.
The one where Buffy makes someone blur?
Yeah.
I remember that one.
Well, I mean, there was that one scene that a lot of people liked. But other than that, the movie was terrible. I thought it was, anyway. I mean, but you know what? It was still better than the number three movie that weekend, 8mm with Nicolas Cage. He gets wrapped up into the underworld snuff film porn industry. Did you guys see that one? This was a movie.
I've seen it. It's the only movie I wish I had never seen. Like, after that, I was like, from now on, I'm going to walk out if I don't like a movie.
That's saying a lot. When Mazur says, it's the only movie I've ever seen that I wish I hadn't seen. That's bad. That's really bad.
There's just stuff in that movie I just didn't, like, I don't need in my head right now. Ever.
Exactly. Or ever. And you know what? I was working at a video store, which shall remain nameless, when the direct video sequel to 8mm came out.
One of the listeners, Shell, says, if I had a superpower, it would be to unsee movies.
That's a pretty good superpower.
That is a great superpower.
That's very creative. If somebody said they walked out of Vanilla Sky, that would probably have been a good idea, because my wife and I were just talking about that the other day. How I was so excited, you know, Cameron Crowe and Tom Cruise teaming up again, and here's Cameron Diaz, who I think, you know, is pretty talented. And Vanilla Sky was a horrible, horrible movie. So that was cool. Payback was also in the top five that weekend, the Mel Gibson movie. You guys see Payback?
Great.
Yeah, that was a fun movie.
You ever notice how there's some movies, they may be good, they may be bad, they may be whatever, but when you catch them flipping channels on TV, you always stop and watch? Always.
Of course.
Payback's one of those movies for me. I'm not saying I watch the whole thing, but I never, ever flip it and say, oh, there's Payback, and then keep flipping. I always stop and watch it. There's something about that movie. Dark movies usually don't appeal to me like that. But Payback, I thought, was really interesting, that Mel Gibson movie. So if you haven't seen that, you might want to check it out.
Yeah, it's fun.
Okay. Good film.
But there's your top five from 10 years ago. That is this week in box office history. We need a sound effect for that.
Before we move on, I'd like to announce a winner. We had a contest this week, and the contest was to have people come in and give us their suggestions of who they would have play the Green Lantern in Warner Brothers' new Green Lantern film that they're making.
Uh huh.
So we had a few entries. We went through them the other day, which we actually recorded our process on how we chose a winner, and we'll put that up on Geek Tyrant TV sometime this week. And the winner of the contest was Dude Yeah. And he suggested the actor John Hamm play Hal Jordan, Green Lantern. If you don't know who John Hamm is, he is the actor that is in
Mad Men, who played Don Draper.
Mad Men,
yes.
Yes. And he's had a recent guest stint on 30 Rock. He recently hosted SNL.
SNL.
So that, I remember that. You know, everybody that came on and gave a suggestion.
Yeah, we had a lot of really good suggestions, but ultimately... You can watch us discuss it in depth on Geek Tyrant TV.
And enjoy the fist fight over, you know, John Hamm and Nathan Fillion, and see how that ended.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's either him or Nathan Fillion. But
I was partial to Paul Newman personally.
That's a brilliant one.
Paul Newman.
But we picked
a young Paul Newman.
Yeah, young.
Oh, okay. A young Paul Newman. Excellent. All right. Good. Thank you for announcing the winner of that contest. Congratulations to dude, whoever.
Not to be confused with the dude.
So what does dude win?
He wins two free movie passes to AMC Theaters.
Oh, that's great. That's awesome. I'm thrilled for the dude. Or not the dude. The dude is a panelist on the podcast who's not here this evening. But, you know, anyway. Well, good. All right. Well, let's talk about what's coming up next week. Because, you know, again, there wasn't, other than Watchmen, there wasn't like a major release this weekend. There's a couple this weekend, or this coming weekend. One, Race to Witch Mountain. Okay. Are y'all going to see it?
I saw it already.
That's great. You know, you've always got to just rub it in people's faces, don't you, Bankman? That's your game.
It was a fun movie. I mean, it's The Rock. It's a couple kids. It's aliens. It's in Vegas.
A mountain.
Is there ever a point where we stop calling him The Rock? I mean, seriously.
It's Dwayne Johnson now.
Yeah, but I mean, is there a point where we're going to stop calling him The Rock?
Well, officially he's not The Rock anymore. Yeah. He's just Dwayne Johnson now.
Okay, yeah, I get that, but when you see him and you say, "Oh yeah, that's that new movie with The Rock," or do you say, "That's the new movie with Dwayne Johnson"?
You say, "That's the movie with the new movie with The Rock."
Okay, so at what point do you think that he's ever going to shake that image in people's minds? I mean, are they ever going to look at him and say, "That's Dwayne Johnson"?
Yeah, that's like asking, will we ever think of Arnold Schwarzenegger not as the Terminator?
Every time
I don't know.
Every time I see him on the street, I'm like, "Yo, Terminator, what up?"
I'm not the Terminator. I'm the Governator now.
I go, "You'll always be the Terminator to me."
Yeah,
that's great. Okay.
Even Dwayne Johnson, he hosted SNL last night, and he came. There's a bit where where Barack Obama gets mad, and when he gets mad, he turns into The Rock Obama.
Yeah, that was a pretty funny concept, but then the sketch got really not funny.
Yeah, right.
I thought it was really funny, The Rock Obama, but then it just, I mean, it wasn't funny after that.
I stopped watching Saturday Night Live.
Well, you know, he started talking like a caveman, and I was like, you know, it would have been more funny if he just was totally rocked out, but he still talked like him. And he's still calm.
Exactly. I like that, you know, if he would have stayed calm but been The Rock. I don't know. But, no, Venkman, that disappoints me. I know that it started off horrible earlier this year with Michael Phelps and that whole bunch. But in SNL, it's got funny again.
Yeah, it's
funny. Neil Patrick Harris hosted a few weeks ago. That was absolutely hilarious. Did anybody see that?
I like that one.
Neil Patrick Harris was great.
Whoa. You just said you stopped watching it, and now you're saying that you saw an episode that came on last month.
Yeah, I'm a contradictor of myself.
You are a contradictor. I'm not sure what that is, but okay. All right, so Race to Witch Mountain, I don't know. It's obviously more of a family-friendly Walt Disney Studios movie.
It's extremely cheesy. I mean, don't expect just expect a cheesy Disney movie, because that's what it is.
Okay, fair enough. Let's get into the next big release. We got another horror movie, and yes, it's another horror. I don't want to say remake. I'll say reimagining, because quite frankly, I'm tired of saying remake. I really am, because they're not remakes.
Let's not say remake or reimagine. Let's go. They're reshooting the film.
Exactly. They're saying this is what the movie would have been like had they made it and had this kind of money originally. But anyway, Last House on the Left is coming out. It looks like this daughter is taken. She's, you know, beaten, raped, left for dead. Turns out she doesn't die, and the assailants unwittingly seek refuge in her parents' house. And when they find out,
zombie, and she goes back to the house, kills them all. Is that right?
So I don't think she comes back as a zombie. but okay, if that helps you, they do apparently find out, you know, that their daughter has been in this bad predicament, and they do find out, you know, who did it. And the interesting niche for this movie, which is the same as the original, the niche is, instead of just, you know, running away, calling the police and seeking justice that way, the parents decide we're going to dispense our own brand of justice. And the hunters become the hunted. Haha, how about that?
Is the zombie daughter comes home, but her family members, and then they come back as zombies, and so the zombie family kills the people?
It's not a zombie movie.
Oh.
Stop it.
Oh, okay.
Okay, but here's the thing. Are you going to see it? Did anybody see the original?
Yeah, I did.
It was. Wasn't it Wes Craven's first movie?
It was okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Room for improvement.
Was this based on a personal experience for Wes Craven? Do we know that?
Oh.
Yes, it was actually.
Yes, he murdered a girl. Oh, I thought he murdered a girl.
I was going to say, personal experience, yes. He read the book that the movie was based on, and that personally. No, I'm kidding. I have no idea. I just remember watching this movie when I was younger, the original, and thinking, oh my gosh, this is gross. So,
you know what?
I'm interested to see.
If it comes out, I'm going to go see it, because, yeah, it's a movie, and I go see movies.
I'm so desperate to see really good, scary movies that I will almost see any movie that tries to pass itself off as a scary movie in hopes that it would be good. Does that make sense to anybody else?
That makes sense.
Okay. Well, those are your two biggest releases. You got Escape from Witch Mountain and Last House on the Left. And limited release, you've got Sunshine Cleaning, which stars Amy Adams and Emily Blunt. Amy Adams, I guess, is now the it girl. She's in everything. And she's done soft stuff like Enchanted. It's made lots of money. She's been nominated for an Academy Award for Doubt. And so I guess it's just her time. She's in everything. Do we like Amy Adams?
I like Amy Adams.
Yeah, she's fine.
She's Pam 2.0.
Right. I tell you what, she hosted Saturday Night Live, and it was pretty funny, too. But that was last season. But that was good. And The Horseman comes out in limited release also.
That one looks pretty creepy.
Who's in that, by the way?
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, who do you think? The guy that I tell you is the most underrated actor in Hollywood, Dennis Quaid, is in that. Apparently, he's recently widowed as a cop or a detective or whatever, and he's grieving over his wife's death. And, you know, also, you know, that's kind of like the side plot. But the main thing is he's finding some sort of connection between himself and people he's looking for in a serial killing spree, which, by the way, is linked to the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse story, which that's why the movie is called The Horsemen.
Wait, the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse, is that like from out of that book, what is that called, the Bible?
See, I thought the Four Horsemen was a tag team from the NWA back in the 70s.
I thought it was a heavy metal band from the
80s. So, right, so see, I don't know what the connection is between them and the Apocalypse, but, you know, I'll leave that to the historians. But that's your stuff. There's a couple other titles, but I mean, once I give you four movies that are coming out this weekend, if I haven't said it by now, then it's not worth talking about. Okay, what's coming out for DVD release? Milk. Hello.
Already?
Wow, yeah, that's fast.
Yeah, that's Milk is coming out. I think it's wonderful, I guess. I don't know. I haven't seen it.
On tape, you take like 3.5 years for movies coming on tape.
And remember when you went to the video store and they like had the price on there and it was like $99 for that tape?
Yeah. Yes.
It's like, dang, I don't want to lose this. I don't want to pay $100 for a VHS.
Well, see, that was the thing. See, they apparently were nice enough to do that for you. When, you know, drawing upon my own experience, when I worked at the video store here, they never did that for people. So what would happen is, you know, Joe Blow would come in and he lost his copy of A Walk in the Clouds that his date made him rent with Keanu Reeves. And he says, I'm just going to have to go ahead and buy it because I lost it. And we say, all right, sir, that'll be $105. And he'll say, you got to be crazy. I say, no, sir. That's how much the movie costs. What? Movies in the store are only like $20, sir. Let me explain how this works. So, yeah, it used to take forever for movies to come out on video, and then when they did, they were just available for rent. Now you can buy any movie as soon as it comes out. And Milk is coming out Tuesday, and I will not be buying it.
Watch it on the internet while it's still in theaters, too.
Yeah. Exactly. Also coming out, another little movie that got some Oscar attention, Rachel Getting Married, starring Anne Hathaway. So that'll be out. Here's another quick one. The Transporter 3.
Whoa. Time out. That already didn't come out on DVD?
Nope. Can't stop.
That came out on theaters?
I actually wanted to see this.
It did? It came out in theaters? I did not know that.
Yeah, it came out.
No idea. I'm being dead serious.
Well, it did. No doubt. I didn't see it, but yes, I remember seeing it. It was out. But I like Jason Statham. There's a lot of movies that he's in that I want to see, and I never do because the movies usually aren't very good. He's good in them. I thought he was great in The Bank Job.
Oh yeah, love The Bank Job.
Lockstar.
And he's great in the Transporter movies. He's cool.
Shell's happy that Jason Statham takes his shirt off all the time.
Yeah.
Oh, who isn't? I mean, hey. Okay, here's one that I know Mr. Black is excited about. Let the Right One In comes out for sale Tuesday.
Oh. About time.
Wow, congratulations. Awesome.
And from what I understand, that's a pretty good vampire movie, huh, Mr. Black?
That's one of the best vampire movies I've ever seen in my life. Kid you not.
Exactly. The only thing it was missing was Leonardo DiCaprio.
He'll be in the American version, I'm sure.
What's up?
What's the Astronauts? What? Oh.
They're doing okay.
Yeah, they're already making an American version.
Of Let the Right One In?
Yeah, everybody's against it. The writer of the book, the director of the original movie. The guy that wrote the screenplay. Everybody's saying don't do this, but the American director guy is like, no, we have to.
I'm a huge fan, and I want to do it for the American audience. Yes, everything can be translated stupid for Americans sometimes.
Very nice. Mr. Black and his anti-American sentiments. Movies.
Hey, I'm just
no, I'm kidding. If the dude were here tonight, he could talk about The Boy in the Striped Pajamas. That also comes out Tuesday. There's a bunch of movies coming out Tuesday.
I saw The Boy in the Striped Pajamas later on when it came out. It was sad.
Good one, Bankman. Thanks.
Sorry.
Okay. Here's one. Here's one that blew my mind. This is not a new movie. It's an old movie. But it is coming out for DVD. Howard the Duck.
What?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Sirs. Howard the Duck.
No.
Howard the Duck.
Not on Blu-ray?
Well, I'm on Amazon.com, and I don't see a Blu-ray. I just see the DVD. I see no Blu-ray listing.
That's a shocker.
It's on Blu-ray.
Oh, Howard the Duck. That was a movie.
That's crazy.
Also, Happy Go Lucky.
What's this film?
Yeah, Howard the Duck. Good job by Howard the Duck. So yeah, that's a lot of movies coming out this Tuesday. So, head to your video store, check that out. Okay, I got a random question for you guys, and I'm just going to throw it out there, and we can have people in our chat room respond and all that good stuff. What is the best game that they play on The Price is Right? And the reason I'm asking is we're sitting here, of course, I'm not on the East Coast, but I'm on the eastern half of the United States. I'm in Central Time, and it's 11:20, and I have a 2-year-old son who absolutely loves The Price is Right. And so he's sitting here watching, a TiVo'd episode of Price is Right. And we were watching you guys know that game Cliffhanger with the Yodeler, where he climbs the cliff, that whole thing? Yeah, they got to guess the prices, and however far apart they are is how many notches he's going to climb up. And if he gets, 25 up, he'll fall off. I just, for the first time in my life, watched a woman not even get the first prize right. The first prize is usually worth between $10 and $20 every single time. I don't even know what she said. She must have guessed like $50 for a cigarette lighter or something. But Cliffhanger's a great game. Of course, Plinko is the easy answer. I love Plinko. But what do you guys think?
This is the best game they play, is try to act stupidly surprised when they call your name. Oh my gosh, me?
Well, are you guys saying that's not legit? They all know that they're picked?
Beforehand. They tell them.
Oh, man. Now, have any of you ever gone to the Price is Right taping?
I have friends who have, and yeah, it pretty much is all set up.
And the food sucks.
The food?
Yeah.
I don't see them eating on the show. What are you talking about?
That's what I'm talking about.
The food sucks. That's your response.
Get her.
That was your plan. Get her. Yeah. It was scientific. Okay. I love it when, somebody in the chat room is saying golf. I love it when they play the hole-in-one game. You guys don't have a favorite Price is Right game?
It's obvious. The obvious answers are Plinko or Cliffhanger or golf. I mean, what else is there?
The wheel?
The wheel? The Wheel of Fortune?
No, that's not the – it's not a Wheel of Fortune. It's the wheel. It's just spinning the wheel.
I like that Rob Reese says that. Anything that doesn't involve Drew Carey. Yeah, I miss Bob Barker.
Yeah. You guys need to neuter those cats.
No, I'm going to say it, and I'm just going to get it out there. Drew Carey, better than Bob Barker. I'll take him any day of the week.
Oh, blasphemy.
Bob Barker, I'm sorry. I know Bob Barker birthed it, but Drew Carey, Bob Barker got to the point where he just didn't even like the contestants. In his latter days, he did not even care. He wanted them to lose.
Yeah, I will say that Drew Carey really does have, like, he's a likable guy, and he wants people to win, which is the best part. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Bro.
Oh, yeah. I don't think you could fake the kind of emotion that he shows when people win a big prize. He loves it. I think it's awesome. But anyway, I think there's a lot of great games for Price is Right. Oh, man. Okay. Well, I wish we could have gotten some more answers. Somebody in the chat room says Punch a Bunch. That's good. That's a good game. But, you guys are terrible. How about the Lucky 7 game where he gives them 7 $1 bills and they have to guess the numbers and the price of the car?
If you like that kind of thing.
Oh, sheesh.
What about Showcase Showdown?
That's right.
I love the Showcase Showdown. When they have to spin the wheel. That's when they spin the wheel.
When you ask this question, you're assuming that I'm coherent when I'm watching Right to Drive.
Sorry. Okay, sorry. But I did want to kind of use that as a segue into a little bit of talk before we close up tonight, a little bit of talk about television. Yeah, I finally got to watch some episodes of Lost. I'm almost completely caught back up. Lost is one of my favorite shows. And I love it. I still have I've got every episode of 24 TiVo'd, but I have not seen a single episode of this season of 24. So I'm going to have to say I can't talk about 24 tonight.
I'm on top of it, and it's awesome.
Good.
Jack Bauer's back.
What else is good? I mean, is anybody still watching Heroes?
Yeah, I still watch Heroes. I'm in. You know, I've gotten this far. I'm not going to stop listening now or watching now.
Is it good?
It's good. I think
it's not great. It's not like one of the best shows ever.
Wasn't it teetering for a while? Heroes, like part of the, like when I first started watching the beginning of the third season, it just sucked to me.
Pick back up a little bit.
I think the thing about Heroes is it, and when you watch it, kind of like a few days before Lost, you just realize how good Lost is and how well planned a show it is. And then Heroes just seems like they're throwing anything at the wall. They're coming up with new storylines every week. Hey, this person's alive. This person's not. This person's dead. This person's not. we're inventing.
Yes.
Yeah, they're just inventing as they go.
Yeah. I mean, I stopped the episode I was watching last night, I said, you know, I'm to the point now where every episode of Lost is so... I mean, it's just crazy. I mean, they're bringing up so much, and they're changing so much, and they're jumping into the past, and they're jumping into the future. It's so cool. And I'm thinking, how are they ever going to resolve this by the end of next year? So, I mean, I love that. But I'm always interested in hearing what you guys are watching, because I know some of y'all watch shows that I never watch or never have seen. But you know, I'm holding fast with my favorites. I've got Lost. And then I promise I'm going to get to 24, and then How I Met Your Mother, and my ultimate favorite there is The Office, which, by the way, I don't know how a show that funny keeps getting funnier, but when they did the Valentine's episode that came on last Thursday night, I about laughed so hard, and I wasn't even watching it very carefully because I was working, but I about laughed so hard. I almost urinated in my pants. It was that funny. I mean, it's hilarious. And the thing is, Andy's one of the funniest characters, and he hasn't even been on it the last couple episodes. So, I don't know.
He got fired. No, he's taking his honeymoon.
Oh, yeah.
His honeymoons. He's got those non-refundable deposits. I can't. I'll start talking about The Office, and I'll just go off on a tangent. But I love that. Well, what other good shows are out there that I'm not watching?
Well, Shell, who's on our chat room right now, brought up three shows that I'm actually watching as well. Dollhouse, which is the new Joss Whedon show, which is probably one of his not as good shows. I'm a fan of Firefly, and I loved Angel, and Buffy was okay, but Dollhouse is a little slow on the uptake for me.
Buffy was better than Angel.
Not to me. Shell also brought up my favorite show that's on TV right now, and that's Sarah Connor Chronicles.
The Golden Girl Chronicles?
Yes, the Golden Girl Chronicles.
Now, Mr. Black, do you know, is there going to be any sort of connection? I mean, is Sarah Connor Chronicles going to have any connection with the new Terminator movie?
There's actually a rumor going around. I don't know how true this is. I haven't seen the new Terminator, but the rumor is that Salvation is loosely connected to Sarah Connor Chronicles, and in the sense that there's in the TV series Time Jump, where they actually go forward like 8 years in the future, and it's gonna incorporate that into the movie version, but I'm not 100% sure if that's true or a rumor or what.
Gotcha.
I've heard that from a few sources, but I haven't seen the movie, so I can't confirm that.
Well, it's always good to speculate. Your speculation's as good as anyone else's, Mr. Black. but it's true. Okay, well, that's good. All right, well, look, I mean, you know, sometimes our conversations of what's out at the box office, what's coming out next week, and then, you know, a little TV talk really takes up our whole podcast, and I think we've done a good job with that tonight. But I'll open the floor for you guys. Do you have anything in the business you wanted to discuss this week?
Yeah, Ron Purdy would like to discuss how Michael Bay is saying McGee ripped off giant robots from the Transformers.
Wow. Michael Bay has no shame. I'm sorry.
Michael Bay just needs to stay quiet, you know? He's going to keep it on the low down.
He needs to not say what he's thinking, you know?
I know it's a minority here, but I think Michael Bay just ruined Transformers for me entirely with the first movie. I hated it with passion.
And we want people to listen. Just joking.
Well, no, but you know what? I'm closer. I mean, I don't completely agree with Mr. Black, but I'm probably closer to the way he thinks than the way so many other people think. I didn't think the movie was that great.
I thought it was horrible.
It was just, what was it? It was giant robots kicking each other's asses. That's what it was.
That's what I signed up for. That's what I
That's
got.
What I wanted to see, and that's what I saw, so I liked it.
But, well, yeah, that's the only thing. Yeah. That's the only thing that saved it for me. But I don't. But you know what? I walked out of the theater thinking I don't want to see it again. I don't want to see a sequel.
You know who's kind of good in those the Transformer movies? The guy who plays the dad.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, he's good.
To me, the saving grace was John Turturro.
No, see, that's what pissed me off even more, is his acting ability was just crushed in that movie.
He called it in.
So horrible that he was the only entertaining part of it.
No, he wasn't. He was bad in it.
I agree with Mr. Black. I thought John Turturro was funny. Every time he talked, it made me laugh.
And John Voight just needs to stop being in movies, too. but, you know, the second one, Bay has promised, he's listened to the fan, he says, it's going to be darker, there's going to be more action. He's basically listening to what we've been crying out about. And
bigger robots, bigger battle scene,
darker,
faster. The robots are going to have blood.
the robots will actually bleed human blood in Transformers 2. That's what we're looking for.
We're looking for bleeding robots.
So that's great.
John Boyd, that's all I ask.
Alright, well, I gotta be honest with you. For me, having the opportunity to do the podcast live tonight was a great experience, because I love the fact that we can plan what we want to talk about, but we can also come in and we can see our chat room, and we can give, you know, the listeners an opportunity to kind of direct the podcast as they want. So they, you know, if you guys keep coming back each week and try to get more people to log on that don't have anything better to do, then we can kind of talk more about, you know, what you want to hear about in the business. So, I mean, I like this. I hope we continue to do this.
We will.
I've already figured out how to iron out all the technical stuff. So we're good for next week.
Exactly. All right. Well, I tell you what, that's it for me. Unless anybody has anything that they want to say, I'm ready to get out of here. I'm gonna go read some of the fan mail that I'm getting.
You should go read Watchmen.
Yeah. I'm ready to go read the graphic novel Watchmen on my way to Disney World.
Nice.
That's what I want.
We just had a reader say that it's kind of tough over here because they're on the East Coast. And I could see that. I mean, it's pretty damn late over there. Maybe we could start meeting an hour early. I don't know. Just to try and smooth things up a little bit.
Do that.
Would you East Coast people like it an hour earlier?
Dude, Shell lives in Australia. Go on.
Wait a second, Shell. Australia where?
Where?
I'm gonna need proof.
Now we gotta wait for a response.
What's the capital of Australia? If you live there,
Queensland,
Australia,
Brisbane.
That's awesome. Cool.
Okay. Well, so how are we? You know, are we translating this so she can understand in her language? Australian. I don't speak Australian.
Australian.
And no, I'm not gonna do a Dumb and Dumber. You know, throw a shrimp on the Barbie. That'd be stupid. I will not stoop to Jim Carrey's level. Oh, she speaks idiot. Well, then she certainly will get what we're talking about. All right. Well, I'm out of here. You guys have anything you want to say? I'm done. I'm out.
Well, I think we're good. Well, I'll see you next week. Keep coming back to the site. Leave us rant backs, and we'll rant back.
Oh, follow us on Twitter.
Yeah.
Follow us on Twitter. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah, twitter.com/geektyrant.
Oh, yeah, this will be on during the week just in case you want to listen to it again.
Good one, Vickman. Like, that's going to happen. All right, we'll see y'all later. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Peace.